Thank you all for inviting me, and I appreciate Brother Ricky for asking. Ricky and I get along really well because we both talk a little funny, according to some of y'all over here. Now I'm from the Grand Commonwealth of Bluegrass, Kentucky. Now, I wasn't born there, but my folks are from there, and all of my grandparents and aunts and uncles and hereafters there, they all still live down in the edge of mountains. Dad came up in 54, 55, looking for a job because, as he said, there ain't no flat spot in the mountains to put jobs. It's just the way it is. So rather than grub fence rows out for a dollar a day, he came to Cincinnati, got off a bus, and he would tell the story that he had $5 to his name, and that was to get him a room to rent and a couple of meals until he could get paid for a couple of days' work. And he never went home. So he worked all day, and he'd play music all night. So that's a little bit about my background. That's the era in which I grew up. I grew up on a tobacco farm on a hillside where it takes 5 acres to make 1 good acre of what y'all get over here in Indiana. And that's what my brother and I, that's Dad said, idle hands are the devil's plaything, and you boys are never going to be idle as long as we raise tobacco. And he's right. But you know, life is funny. Life changes. Things come and they go. But the Word of God is always true. No matter what decade, no matter where we grow up, no matter where we live, it's always true. James writes these words as presented by the Lord. He said, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Jesus, we get together tonight to worship and to hear a word from you. Thank you for speaking to us through song and through testimony of you always being there and making a way and leading and guiding. And God, I have no idea about these dear folks that you've presented here, so you help me to be clear and help me to share your word. It's not mine. It's yours, and you help it to do the job that it needs to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Life changes really quickly. Now, my wife and I, we have entered a season after having raised 2 children. The third one is off to that godforsaken place in Bloomington. Telling you, you don't know how hard it is for UK money to pay for an IU education. It's just, it ain't right. So we're in this season. She's in her last year up here, and she's doing well. And so we're kind of contemplating the future. And we have had some changes and challenges along the way. Reminds me of a story that I heard about Chippy. I don't know if you all have ever heard the story about Chippy, but Chippy was sitting in his cage in Miss Betty's kitchen, just singing away. Well, it came time for Chippy's cage to be cleaned, and Miss Betty was very, very clean, oriented, organizing, putting everything away, making sure everything. Well, it came time to clean up after the bird, because I guess birds are messy. So she's dusting and gets the vacuum and is sucking up cobwebs and everything, or whatever she thinks is a cobweb, and the phone rings. Well, the phone in the kitchen's right next to the bird cage, so she bends over to get the phone, and up went the hose. Right up against poor little Chippy's cage. Sucked Chippy right in there quicker than you could blink. She was exasperated, threw the phone down and threw the vacuum down and turned it off in a hurry. Did the only thing she knew to do. Grabbed that dust bag out and to the back porch they went and zipped it, unzipped it, and there was Chippy. It's all covered in soot and everything, but he was breathing. She was so happy. She wanted to get him cleaned up right away, so she drug him right to the kitchen and turned the cold water on and sprayed him with cold water. So now Chippy is stunned and shivering. Doesn't know what hit him. Miss Betty is beside herself. Oh my gosh, I've killed Chippy. I've killed him. I've killed him. And Chippy is still moving. She did the last thing she could think of to warm him up. She took him right to the bathroom and grabbed that commercialized hair dryer of hers, turned it on full throttle, and poof! Reporter heard about the whole goings on and showed up at Miss Betty's house a few weeks later. He said, "Well, how is Chippy?" And she said, "Well, there he is." Chippy was sitting in his cage on his perch, not making a sound, just sitting there dazed and confused. It's enough to steal the song of any heart when you've been sucked in, washed up, and blown over. Now, ain't that true? How many of you have been sucked in, dirtied up, rinsed off, and get blasted? It happens a lot more than we think. And it happens quickly, doesn't it? Happens very quickly. The Bible reminds us, God, through in His infinite mercy, had James write these things. If you got a pencil and you got a blank sheet of paper, you want to take a note, or in the back of your Bible, let me give you a few things to consider this evening. Number one, trials are predictable. They're going to happen. No matter how old you are, no matter where you've been, no matter your upbringing or your which side of the tracks you are from, trials are predictable. They are going to happen. In fact, James goes so far as to say, "My brother, count it all joy when," not if, but when they come. When they come. Everyone is going to experience a trial at some point or sometime in their life, and some of them are going to be more trying than others, if you will. Some of them are going to be health-related, your child. Some of them are going to be health-related yourself. Some of them will be job-related. You've worked at the same job for the last 27 years, and you've helped with the reorganization, and you know that people are about to lose their jobs, except you. until your boss walks in and says, you were the last one. You've worked there for how long? They give you a nice, they call it a severance package, but it's a really go home and don't bother us package. And you were expecting to retire with the golden watch at 65 or 67 and go play golf and live on the beach. But it changed in that moment. They happened to everyone. Now, Jesus, he faced several trials. I mean, he even faced the devil in the wilderness. Now, when people face trials today, they say, well, the devil's after me. Well, he can't be after you and after me and after everybody. He can only be in one place at one time. And Jesus, when he is in the wilderness, the devil comes to him and he tempts him. It's not a manifestation. It's not a demon. It's the devil himself. And he shows up. Jesus hasn't eaten anything. He hasn't drunk anything. Now, I don't know about you all, but my wife says I get ugly when I get hungry. It's a fact of life. This is a growing boy, and he's got to eat. I mean, but Jesus wouldn't like that. How did Jesus defeat him? The Word of God says, the Word of God says, the Word of God says. Jesus not only faced that, but he faced trials and questions from his own family. His own brothers said, well, if you're really going to do this, why don't you go up to the temple and display yourself to everybody? They didn't believe him. They misunderstood him. The disciples themselves, they also faced trials like Peter and John. They're arrested for preaching, and they've been threatened and beaten and threatened again. If you keep talking about Jesus, we're going to do something worse to you. Believers face trials today. Earlier this year, I don't know if you heard it or not, but there was a group of 50 Christians that were captured in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Those 50 Christians were captured, marched into a small church, and they were all beheaded just because they believed in Jesus. It's a trial that many of us will never face or deal with here. So when he talks about those trials, where do they come from? Well, the Bible tells us that God allows them. In Job chapter 1 and 2, God lifts his quote-unquote hedge of protection from him. Why does he do that? Sometimes God allows Satan's hand in them. Again, if we go back and we look at the story of Job, and he says, well, where have you been? He says, man, I've been wandering up and down this place, can't find nothing. And God suggests it. Have you tried my servant Job? And the devil says, well, no, come to think of it, I haven't. I haven't seen him. And God says, you can do anything to him, but you cannot take his life. And what happened? Job lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. But most importantly, the thing that most of us hold most dear to our hearts, his own health. He lost it. So God allows them. And sometimes he uses Satan to deliver them. Now, how do we respond to trials? A lot of people just ignore them. They put on a happy face and they name it and claim it. I don't have any problems. God healed me and these things. And they just pretend like it didn't happen. That's no way to live life. But there's another way. We can embrace them. James uses the word knowing in verse 3. When it says, knowing that the testing of your faith, that word means experiential understanding. Trials aren't just an event for you and I to survive. They are events in our lives that give us opportunities to grow in much deeper ways that we would never have grown had God not allowed us to go through those times. Trials are predictable. You're going to have some. Some of y'all might have them on the way home tonight, depending on how people drive around here. Trials are not only come to us, but God has a purpose in them. Now, we don't like to talk about that part. Trials, James reminds us, they are there to help produce purity. Look again at verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It produces something. It's purposeful. It's meaningful. Now, the word testing there in verse 3, it talks about refining metal that doesn't have an alloy in it like gold or silver. And the silversmiths and the goldsmiths would take the gold and they would melt it down. And it's an ugly, dirty process, but they would melt it. And as it would boil, the dross or the garbage comes to the surface. And they would scrape that off. They would let it cool. Then they would heat it up again. They did that several times. I believe it's 7 times until the more boiling it goes through, the more pure the metal. That's one of the reasons God allows us to go through testing and trying, is to help produce in us something that is far more valuable than gold. Your faith, he says. He wants it to be pure. It's really easy to say, I love God and I love Jesus, and when everything's going well. When you get the raise, when your kid is the starter of the basketball team and those kinds of things, it's really easy. But it's more challenging when things aren't going our way. But not only does it produce purity, it produces perseverance. The word for patience there means endurance, the ability to remain under pressure, to be steadfast. It gives us a spiritual backbone. It gives us an ability to stand. And we stand not because of our great intellect or our great understanding, but we learn to stand because we know that the power of God is with us and in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's finances or whether it's relational conflict, whether it's even illness, they produce perseverance. But they also help us to mature, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It means maturity, fully developed, and as one author noted, keeping oneself unspotted from the world. Trials do that because they remove things that aren't really necessary when we allow them. Spiritual maturity takes time. It takes a long time, and it takes a great deal of effort. It involves using words and tools and listening and being obedient and learning how to respond to the stimulus that God gives you, whether it's at home or at work or at church even. And it takes time to learn that. I know things now that I didn't know when I was at my first church in the inner city. One, I know how to think a little bit better. There was an episode there. We had Bible school. We were in the Madison Avenue Baptist Church. Beautiful church building. Church had been there forever in downtown Covington, Kentucky. Church would seat 400. There were 20 my very first Sunday there. 20. The community had changed 5 times, but the church never had. And so they were desperate for a preacher, and this preacher was desperate for a pulpit, so it was a marriage made of convenience for both of us. God sent me there. One year we were having Bible school, and we had some of the kids coming, and they're all mixed. They come from families, divorced, broken, living together, mixed racial backgrounds, speaking different languages. I don't care. Jesus loves them, so we ought to love them too. This girl showed up. She's about 14, and now you have to remember, this is about 30 years ago, so that was before the 200 mark hit on my weight. So some of y'all will get that a little bit later. It's okay. But she's 14. She's pretty good sized girl. Well, she had gotten up in the balcony and she said, I'm just going to jump. And I'm like, man, this ain't happening. Not today. Well, her friends were on the bottom of the church floor saying, yeah, you ain't got enough nerve. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going from bad to worse right here. And all kinds of things are going through my head. So I get a brilliant redneck idea. I snuck up the back stairwell and I had somebody sneak up the back other side. And he said, what are we going to do? She's bigger than both of us. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to get that girl down from there and we're going to carry her down. And he said, I don't think this is a good idea. But I was convinced this was a winner though. So he snuck up, I snuck up, and I just grabbed her right around the waist and got her down, and we packed her down. Packed her downstairs, trying to get her calm. Now listen, just calm down, it'll be okay. It's the first time I've ever, first and only time I've ever encountered anyone with demonic power. She literally picked me up with my shoes off the floor and slammed me up against the wall. And said that I should never touch her again, and she bolted out the door. Now, most thinking people would allow that child to leave. Not this redneck, nope. Chased her right down the street to her house, got her mama out, and told her what all was going on. Now, I've learned a few things since then. Number one, that I ain't as big and as fast as I used to be. But number two, that God allows things to happen in our lives to teach us lessons. And I should have been listening more. That girl had troubles. I mean, it was a bad situation. And I really can't tell you whatever happened to her. I never saw her again. Never came to church. They lived right around the corner, but people were in and out of those apartments like nobody's business. Very poor, very, very poor community. But God had to allow me to experience some of those things so that 35 years later, I would be a little bit more mature, a little bit more wise in how I handle things. The best thing that you can do is pray. Remember in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. There's a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, one of my most favorite passages in the Old Testament. Jehoshaphat is staring at an invading army. They are going to come. They are going to wipe the children of Israel out. And he says, God, I don't know. We don't know what to do. Man, there's way more of them than there is of us. We've sinned and we've messed up terribly, but our eyes are on you. If I can communicate one truth to you tonight, fix your eyes on Christ through prayer. Grow in that area. Do whatever it is that you have to do, but be able to stand in that day and be able to look at God and say, I don't know what to do. These things that are happening in my life, the life of my children, the life of my wife, they are beyond my ability to reason and deal with. But my eyes are on you. I'm listening to you. I'm waiting for your instructions to go and be available to how God may speak to you. It may be through a song. It may be through a word. It may be through something on the radio. It may be through something that someone says to you in line at Walmart. Now, most folks don't imagine meeting God at Walmart. But God has a way of being there to give you what you need. Trials are bound to happen. They're predictable. They're always going to come, but they're purposeful. Their purpose is to help you grow so that you, how does he say it? Lack nothing. So that you are fully equipped. So that you are fully mature. But last thing, trials are really profitable. They profit you. They profit me. In verse 9, James says, the lowly brother, the lowly are those in humble circumstances. They're the ones who often get overlooked. And James said that they should glory in that exaltation. Now, wait a minute. James says, the lowly of heart, what's he talking about? Those who don't have anything have to learn to depend upon God. And he contrasts that with those who have money. Now, this is a disclaimer. Just because you're poor doesn't mean God's blessed you. And just because you're rich doesn't mean that you're the devil himself, okay? There's that thinking and teaching going on that says if you've been blessed, that's from the devil. That's not true. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Smells like smoke. Stay away from it. He says, here, what? He says, what do you glory in? He says, the rich man needs to remember that all of his stuff will what? It withers and it perishes and it fades away. Don't trust in your health. It can go away in an instant. In fact, something as small as a microscopic little tiny dot can get into your system and wreak havoc. I've been in the hospital 3 times for unexplained fever, running 103, 104. Doctors have no idea where it comes from, where it goes, and it hasn't been around for a long time now, thank the Lord. But my fever spikes, and I can tell you when it's coming. It's the craziest thing, but it's a very, you can't see it. It's not big enough to hold in your hand. It's just like a little dot. And sometimes it raises its head. He says, watch out for the poor, those who are lowly, but also be aware of the prosperous, because all that stuff will be taken away. See, it's profitable, not financially, but spiritually. And that's what James reminds us tonight. Listen, I don't know where you are in life, and I don't know what's going on in your life. Just remember, when trials come, they are predictable. You're going to have one. The old saying is, everybody's either going into, in the middle, or just coming out of a storm. They're a part of life. They are predictable. You're going to have some, but they are purposeful. God will teach you things in the middle of those storms that you otherwise would never learn. You wouldn't even consider. But they are profitable, not financially, but spiritually. You'll be able to grow deeper. You'll be able to pray better, more effective prayers. You'll be able to sing from the heart much more deeply. The Lord will help your mind to think about the things of Scripture and the things that He has said and the things that He is pointing to, rather than trusting your own wisdom and your own portfolio. If I could ask you just a couple of things as we bring to a close tonight. Do you know the Lord well enough to be able to weather those things? Have you grown to the point? Have you matured to the point where you, I won't say embrace, because nobody really wants to embrace it, but you are comfortable with the pain that God allows in your life on occasion, because you know that He's going to teach you something, reveal something to you, show you something about His character and or your character. Like Paul said, I've got this thorn in the flesh, and I sought the Lord 3 times to remove it, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Have you gotten to the place where you've learned to lean onto that grace? Have you gotten to that place where you've learned to trust Him more and more today than you did yesterday? For the believer, you might feel like poor little Chippy. People had good intentions, but next thing you know, you've been sucked in. You're covered with soot, rinsed and blasted. And you just stare. Don't be like Chippy. Learn to sing again in the dark. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the rich blessing of being here, of getting to share just a little bit of your word and life experiences. God, thank you for that. And I thank you for these dear people, that you would encourage them and help them, remind them, oh, I didn't say anything new. It's all been talked about for years. In fact, James wrote it, but maybe help hear it from a little bit different perspective. God, remind each of us, and myself included, as we go through seasons of life, man, there's going to be challenges. But it's nothing that we cannot face when we trust you and we follow you completely. God, thank you for these dear people and for Brother Ricky. And we turn this service over to you and allow you to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name.